Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. We've spent almost 80 years asking where UFOs come from, but there's just one problem. That question assumes they ever came from somewhere else. If something is visiting Earth, most of us immediately assume it came from another planet, another star system, or another civilization. It's in the movies, we see it in television, in books. It's been part of the conversation ever since Roswell. And whether you're a skeptic or a believer, almost everyone starts from the exact same place. But then I found the peer-reviewed scientific paper that challenged the assumption almost everyone starts with. And it came from Harvard. I don't mean a UFO blog either. I don't mean some conspiracy forum thread written at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean a Harvard paper. And it proposed something completely different. That maybe UFOs are not arriving from another planet. Maybe they were already here. The paper didn't dismiss the idea, it took it seriously. Published in 2024 in the peer-reviewed journal Philosophy and Cosmology, the paper was written by Tim Lomas and Brendan Case from Harvard University, along with Michael Paul Masters from Montana Technological University. Together, they explore something they called the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis. The idea is surprisingly simple. What if at least some of the intelligence behind UAPs didn't arrive from another star system? What if it originated here on Earth? In that version of the mystery, we are not only talking about visitors. We are talking about an intelligent presence that may have been here all along. The authors are careful. They do not present this as a conclusion. They describe it as a speculative hypothesis meant to encourage scientific discussion. But they also make one point that completely changes the conversation. Given everything we've observed, this possibility deserves to be examined, not dismissed. And that immediately raised a different question. If something has always been here, what evidence would we actually expect to find? The first thing I noticed was the word these officials kept avoiding. When David Grush testified before Congress in 2023, he had multiple opportunities to use the word alien, but he didn't. Instead, he consistently used the phrase non-human intelligence. Now, that's a very different choice of words. Luis Elizondo has done something similar. For years, he's steered away from describing the phenomenon as extraterrestrial. Instead, he's encouraged people to think more broadly about what it could be. When people who've spent years inside classified UAP programs consistently avoid the explanation almost everyone assumes, it's worth asking why. The Harvard paper asks the same question by widening the possibilities rather than pretending to have an answer. Instead of assuming the intelligence behind some UAP comes from another star system, the authors outline four possibilities. Those possibilities include an ancient human civilization that survived in isolation, a non-human species that evolved alongside us on Earth, future humans traveling backward through time, or an indigenous intelligence that has always existed here but remains hidden from us. None of that means one of these explanations is true. It means extraterrestrial isn't the only possibility. So before asking which one is right, I had to ask something more basic. If any one of them were true, what would we actually expect to observe? Because that's where speculation ends and evidence begins. If the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis were true, where would we expect to find evidence? Well, the first answer seems obvious, the ocean. More than 70% of Earth's surface is covered by water. The average depth is over 2 miles, and we've explored only a tiny fraction of it. If an advanced intelligence wanted to remain hidden, there may not be a better place on Earth. Now, that idea is interesting. But then I looked at military UAP reports. One detail appears again and again: transmedium movement. Objects appear to move seamlessly between the sky and the ocean, with no obvious splash, no visible loss of speed, and no conventional means of propulsion. If those reports are accurate, the ocean suddenly stops being just a place to hide, and instead, it becomes a place to investigate. And then another question appeared. If intelligence can hide beneath the oceans, well, why stop there? Humans have been building underground for thousands of years. Take Derinkuyu in Turkey, for instance. It's an underground city capable of sheltering roughly 20,000 people, with multiple levels, ventilation systems, water wells, massive stone doors designed to seal entire sections from the inside. Historians have several explanations for why it was built. The crypto-terrestrial hypothesis doesn't replace them. It simply asks if remaining hidden were the priority, wouldn't underground environments make sense? And then another pattern emerged, and this one was about behavior. For decades, many of the most credible military UAP reports have clustered around nuclear weapons facilities, missile fields, and naval operations. The Harvard paper doesn't call that evidence, but it does raise an interesting possibility. Maybe the better question is not only where an indigenous intelligence might exist, it is where it chooses to appear. And suddenly, where are they hiding? Felt like the smaller question. Because if they have been here all along, wouldn't this be exactly the kind of pattern we would expect to see? What if we ignored the hypothesis completely, altogether? No Harvard paper, no theories, just the strongest documented military encounters. Where do they point? Well, the first receipt is the USS Omaha. In 2019, U.S. Navy personnel recorded multiple unidentified objects operating off the coast of California. One of them was captured on military infrared video descending directly into the Pacific Ocean. There was no explosion or debris, no attempt to avoid the water at all. It simply disappeared beneath the surface. The Navy later confirmed the footage was authentic. And then we have the Tic Tac incident. In 2004, Commander David Fravor intercepted an object that accelerated in ways no known aircraft should be able to. But one detail often gets overlooked. Before the object appeared, his radar operators tracked unknown contacts descending from roughly 80,000 feet to just above the ocean within seconds. The disturbance in the water below suggested the object wasn't just in the sky, it appeared to be interacting with something beneath the surface. For decades, some of the most credible military UAP reports have clustered around two places, the ocean and nuclear facilities. The pattern was not pointing to deserts, major cities, or random locations. Again and again, it pointed back to the same environments. And that's when the investigation quietly turned around, because it no longer mattered what the Harvard paper proposed. The receipts were leading to the same place. If these objects really originated somewhere else, why do so many of the strongest military encounters keep pointing us back to Earth? By this point, I wasn't thinking about UFOs anymore. I was thinking about assumptions. Because assumptions shape more than conclusions. They shape the search itself. For more than 60 years, humanity has spent billions of dollars pointing giant radio telescopes toward distant stars. Projects like SETI were built around one simple idea. If intelligent life exists, it's out there. So that's where we searched. We searched outward while paying far less attention to what might be downward, beneath the oceans, beneath the Earth's crust, or even near the places where some of the strongest military UAP encounters keep occurring. When astronomers search for life, they are often looking less for cities than for fingerprints. Tiny changes in starlight, atmospheric chemistry, gases like oxygen, methane, or combinations that shouldn't naturally exist together. They aren't looking for buildings or spacecraft or monuments, just subtle signatures. Exactly the kind of thinking the Harvard paper applies to Earth itself. We already trust fingerprints when they're coming from another solar system. But somehow, the exact same reasoning feels different when it points back to Earth. Every major scientific search begins with an assumption. Planet 9, dark matter, and black holes are examples. None of them were discovered because someone saw them directly. Scientists first noticed their effects, gravity behaving strangely, stars moving too fast, galaxies bending light. The object came later. The fingerprints came first. So suddenly, the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis felt less like a demand to believe in invisible civilizations and more like a much simpler question. If we routinely infer unseen things from the patterns they leave behind, why would this mystery be any different? Now, that doesn't mean the hypothesis is true, far from it. But it does expose that for decades, we've searched the skies, assuming the answer would arrive from somewhere else. Maybe that's exactly what we should be doing, I don't know. Or maybe our biggest blind spot has never been a lack of evidence. Maybe it has been the direction we've been looking. So, after months of reading the research, the military reports, the testimony, and yes, the Harvard paper, I don't know if the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis is true. I don't think anyone does. But I don't think that's the biggest thing this journey taught me. Because for more than 60 years, humanity has pointed some of its most powerful instruments toward the stars. It has listened, it has searched, it has waited, because we assumed that's where the answer would be. At the very same time, more than 80% of our own ocean has never been explored in detail. We continue discovering new species, new ecosystems, and entire landscapes hidden on the planet we've lived on all along. And then I realized something else. Some of the biggest scientific discoveries in history were things that had been here all along. Bacteria had always been there. Radio waves had always been there. X-rays had always been there. None of them appeared the day we discovered them. Our understanding of them did. And history keeps repeating the same lesson. Göbekli Tepe was hidden for thousands of years. Entire ancient cities have been revealed beneath dense jungle by LIDAR. New branches of the human family, like the Denisovans, were identified from fragments so small we almost missed them. The evidence may have been there all along. We either weren't looking or we didn't yet know how. That doesn't make the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis true, but it does make something else true. Assumptions are powerful. They are powerful enough to decide where we search, what we measure, what we dismiss, and sometimes what we never find. When we started tonight, I thought this was going to change how I looked at UFOs, but it didn't. It changed how I look at certainty. Maybe that's what the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis really is. It is less an answer than a reminder. Sometimes the biggest discoveries come when we realize we've been searching the wrong map all along. So the next time someone says they must be from another planet, I'm going to ask one simple question. How do you know? Hey, thanks for watching with me today. I'm Ralph, this is Divergent Files, and I appreciate you. Until next time, stay curious, stay sharp, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.